Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Berardi and Coke. Joined by Matt this morning. How's it going, man?
Oh, it is. Brilliant. Yeah. Couldn't be better.
Let's get two-footed into this after this intro.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Spectacular really was the spectacular fuck up that was QPR away. How you doing this morning, man? You all right?
I've been fettling some zombies, letting my frustrations out on Call of Duty. So do you know, honestly, I went into last night thinking that we were going to win the game but not get promoted. Yeah. We didn't win the game. In fact, we got embarrassed by QPR. Where we don't have a good record at all. And it's in London where we don't have a good record at all. But ultimately, I didn't think we were getting promoted anyway. So we lost a game last night. We didn't lose out on promotion last night because I didn't think we were getting promoted before last night. So yeah. That allowed me to be quite zen about the actual outcome of missing out on automatics, which, let's face it, we have.
Barring an absolute miracle over the next two games for Ipswich, it's automatic seems to be a short tail now at the moment.
Now, even if we get a miracle over the next two games for Ipswich, on the final day, Town need to beat Ipswich and we need to beat Saints, which is also not happening on either side. So I said during the international break, I said, we're not getting promoted. We're finishing third, and we're going to go up as champions next season. I've seen nothing since to change my mind on that.
I was kind of advocating that the international break came at the right time for us because it was one of those where we had the players buzzing, and then the international players were going away to try and qualify. If they qualify, their mental health is great and everything's fine. And yeah, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut from now on regarding international breaks. I think the best way forward is to not bother my whole commenting on it. Blackburn game, sus. Similar feelings after the game. Yeah, right.
Just point out that he met you in the toilet?
Well, I was waiting to take a dump. So,
oh, nice.
Here, it's 11 o'clock in the morning.
If anybody's having breakfast or brunch, then... hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, we try not to disappoint too much in this on this podcast. I did. Yeah, I met you and your dad. It was lovely to meet you both over from Ireland. I went into last night convinced we were going to win. I went 2-1 in the old predictions league, so I wasn't overly enthusiastic about a win. But to say that we conceded four is heavy duty stuff. I wasn't impressed with anything. There's no one last night that came away with any credit in the bank last night.
I've got one player that I thought was unfairly judged. If you read through Graham's scores and you read through the comments online, some of which we'll come on to, I thought that overall Firpo was the only player that came out of it with any credit. I thought that he did all right. You know, there were a couple of balls he put in. One was a very good save, having read what Joseph was going to do. It was a very good save, point blank, but it wasn't seen by the referee, so it was given as a goal kick. And the other one was Pirot being about 12 miles off the pace. Now, we're going to say yards, but he was much further behind than 12 yards. Yeah. That was a great ball in, and actually was very similar to the ball in that Bamford scored from in the prior game. So I thought that Firpo did enough, at least enough, going forward. And we know there's question marks over his defensive capabilities, but I thought he did enough going forward to be one of the ones, maybe the only one, to come out of that with any credit.
Yeah, that's really not saying a lot, is it, at the end of the day? Like, it's one of those where we went into the game, I don't think we were as confident as people made out going into the game, especially after the Middlesbrough game, where that was a seat of the pants type job where we won that game. Like, and I think going in off the back of a game like that, it doesn't inspire confidence as such. But it gives you something to play off. And I don't think they took it by the scruff of the neck last night at all. The one thing that I noticed, our passing was absolutely shocking. It seemed like every player on the pitch had either forgotten how to pass to one of our players or had forgotten how to take a decent first touch. I don't know why Pirro was left on for so long. I genuinely I've always tried to be an advocate for Pirro, where he's, you know, he's first year, this and that, or whatever the case may be. We've all kind of tried to back him up at different points throughout the season, but yeah. Jesus Christ, that was absolutely shocking last night.
It's a real strange one. My response, so you went 2-1 in the predictions, I went 3-1 in the predictions, obviously both to Leeds. Yeah. Now, as soon as I saw that Bamford was out of the game, I said, I wish I'd gone for a draw, because that was as good as I could see happening. And I will admit this, in the Blackburn game, I made £50 on betting against Leeds. Not wanting to, you understand.
Yeah. I understand your logic behind doing it, because you don't mind burning money if it's a case that you lose it on Leeds.
Yeah. Which is here, take this money and I'll effectively buy some points from you.
It didn't
work out against Blackburn. It would have worked out last night. Or maybe it was me that was at fault for not backing QPR last night, and they'd have gone differently if I had. You never know, but I don't know. It's one of those. I think he's so important, and I know that he's got his detractors, and I know that he's had a lot of pelters, and I know that he was part of the side that got us relegated last season. But he's so important for us, especially at this level and the way that we have played since the turn of the year, that, you know, without him, that it's going to be a struggle right from the outset. And the thing for me is, the natural successor to him in the nine is Joseph. And I think we all saw that. And that, for me, is the frustrations. You know, if we reflect on Farker's comments earlier in the season, Pirro in at 10, Ruta playing at 9, Ruta can't finish his tee, Pirro doesn't press, and isn't... He isn't creative enough on the ball. He's a tidy player, tidy enough on the ball, and he's a decent short and mid-range passer, but he's not creative enough to play a 10. So everybody was saying, we need Ruta in at 10 and we need Pirro in at 9, because Pirro's a goal scorer and he's shown at Swansea that he can get lots of goals. And Farker sat for half an hour explaining why Pirel wasn't the right answer at nine. And then when it comes to the crunch and Bamford's not available, he plays Pirel at nine.
Yeah. That's... I think the thing with that is that he spent so long explaining, like it was like 15 or 20 minutes that he sat there explaining why Jorginho and Pirel played the opposite way around. And to say that, I just feel like they swapped around too much last night. I think Georgie dropped very deep. I think Pirro started dropping very deep, and it left us with very, very little up top whenever we did get into the positions we needed to get into. Like that one, for example, that you said, Firpo put that ball in, and Bamford's finished two or three of those this season already, one of them being Monday night.
Yeah.
Pirro, yeah, if he's arriving late into the box, then there needs to be someone ahead of him. There's no one ahead of him. There's absolutely no one, because Georgie's dropped deep to try and influence the game and Pirro's in the same position. We may as well have been playing two up top and left the two of them up there and just gone to a 4-4-2 for the sake of it, like, and just done it that way. Because quite frankly, I think both of them were so ineffective last night. It was nearly a waste of two positions having them on the pitch at times. Now, I understand that they've been absolutely, like, Jordy's been classed throughout the season or whatever. He's entitled to bad games here and there, but to watch that first half as the manager and not make changes at halftime, that's a big deal now. That's a big mistake for me. Like, I don't think... No, I don't think either of them did enough in the first half to cement a second half place for me. And I do agree. I felt that Joseph should have come on at half time. I'd even go as far as to say started the game. Now, I know there's been a lot of people going, oh, you can't do this, he's too young. And I probably said it as well in some of the pods, where you can't rely or put that kind of pressure on a young fella to score your goals. But we're putting that pressure on a young fella and Archie Gray in midfield.
Yeah.
So why not give Joseph the chance and the opportunity to kind of go, right, okay, we need a win here, get him on. And then when he did come on, there was no supply. There was nothing going to him. He was doing his usual battering the centre-backs about the place, fair play to him.
He was.
There was no supply.
It's the first time they'd been put under any sort of pressure or stress in the entire game. It'd been a very easy game for their centre-backs until that point. And if you look at the way that somebody in the comments has said it was nice for Joffrey to get a run out, within 5 minutes of each of them getting on the pitch, they'd done more than Pirro in the previous 80, and he played the entire game.
Yeah.
So it was very, very, very strange. I think if you look at the players that we have, one of the biggest disappointments for me was Rodon. So Melier, we've seen him have this performance on many occasions. You know, he is a good shot stopper, and sometimes he's got good distribution and sometimes it's awful. But we've seen him be a good shot stopper, even if he does flap at crosses and free kicks. But you know, we've seen Firpo be questionable defensively. We've seen Gruev Gruev was absolutely awful last night. But we've seen him have patchy performances since he's come back from injury. And I think that's one thing that you need to bear in mind. Archie is a young lad still learning his way. And we've seen hit and miss from the attacks. You know, all of our successes this since the turn of the year have been built on being solid. And that's why, for me, the biggest disappointment I had in the game was Rodon, because it was almost like he'd bottled it.
Yeah.
And that might seem a bit reactionary, but I was watching him, and you know, his touch was poor. He was second guessing himself. He got himself into a decent positions, and then got dominated by somebody that, you know, 3 months ago he would have absolutely wiped the floor with him. And you know, we had far too many players that retreated into their shell for me last night.
Yeah, I think that's a very spot on assessment. I thought, even though on Tuesday on the pod, I said I like the way Rodon reads the game, whether it be crosses, you know, stuff like that. But for Rodon to be able to do that, the players in front of him need to be putting in that effort as well, where he's not having to, like you said, he second-guessed himself on certain things and stuff like that. So the players in front of him need to do their job so he's not second-guessing himself and he can do what he needs to do. And I thought from back to front yesterday, I don't think, like you said, Firpo probably had the best game out of everyone there, but no one covered themselves in glory last night. And I just think it's a little bit, it's frustrating because that team should 9 times out of 10 beat QPR.
Yes.
I just saw a comment here. Now it is from Reisel 1919. Fark is the Jesse with a German accent. Now, I think that's a little harsh. I think Jesse in this league doesn't even get us anywhere near the top two, even with that squad.
I just wanted to make a point on something that you just said, and then we'll come back forward to that. I've just gone into one of the WhatsApp chats that I were in last night, and 2038, I said Farker needs to make a change, and that would be a statement of intent. We were at least one, if not two, down by that point, and I'm thinking we need to change Pirot for Joseph at that point, and I'm like, do it before half time, statement of intent, give him 10 minutes. And make them question and make that, you know, change the narrative a little bit, make their halftime team talk a bit more difficult, maybe even get a goal and change the shape of the halftime in totality and going into the second half with some impetus. Yeah. But we didn't. We just carried on doing the same thing that weren't working for us, went in at halftime and then made no changes and came out and carried on doing the same things that weren't working for us. And I think that if you look at that comment there that you brought up, I think when you look at the madness that we had under Jesse Marsh, and I think you are right, we wouldn't have got anywhere near where we are now. And I think that there is an importance to look at the whole scheme of things, and you know the. I don't want to talk about journeys and moments and all of that bullshit because I mean, dangerous sounding like Jesse Marsh. But if you look at in fact, you've got the stat. I don't know if you've got it to hand, so I don't want to put you under the microscope, but you've got the stat about a previous team. Do you just want to share that stat at this point?
It's the one that I put in regarding.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a tweet that I found. I put a question into the lads just before the pod, asking how, you know, what the crack was with teams getting 90 points and not getting promoted. And then out of nowhere, this tweet came along. 1998, Sunderland, last team on 90 points. 26 years since then, we will end up third place at worst, may yet, albeit very small chance of it, take second. We have a team capable of running riot in the playoffs because teams have to come at us and really have a go. The thing I wanted to focus on with that was 90 points or since 1998 gets you promoted.
It doesn't actually say that in the tweet, but that is what it means. Because he said the last team on 90 points, but it means the last team on 90 points that didn't gain promotion from the second tier. And that's an astounding stat. And when you think there's all sorts of calls, and do you know what? If football didn't have passion and football didn't have reactions, then it wouldn't be not, you know, half of it is not even, you know, it wouldn't be a 5% of actually what it is. It's all about being, we call fans because we're fanatical. Yeah. You don't get that without the passion and without caring about it. So yeah. I get the fallout when it doesn't go our way, and it's not gone our way. So I get it. But at the same time, that stat is remarkable. And I think we're still in this position where you know, no club side has ever been top in the second tier at Christmas and not got promoted, and it's Leeds hold my beer, and no side since 1998 has ever had 90 points in the league and it's Leeds hold my beer, all of that sort of stuff. You know, we are breaking records, good and bad, this season. But, you know, baby out with the bathwater is just a bad idea at this point. We need to be a bit more measured about responses, I think. And, you know, last night, this morning, fine, get it out of your system and then be a bit more measured about it, because we are in danger. You know, there's some comments like, there was one that we shared in our pod chat that was, we've wasted the best side to ever grace the second tier. And there's people saying, oh, Karen Carney was right then. There's some right bullshit out there at the moment, and I'm not having any of that at all. It's just it's just reactionary, and you understand reactionary. Reactions are the passion. It's the emotion coming out of it, isn't it? And yeah, we have our ups and downs. And for all of the full time at Leicester's, there's gonna be a 2-1 against 10-man Wigan.
Yeah,
you know, those are things that are happening.
Well, the thing is as well, like, we always look at Bielsa and think he's the best manager we've ever had, but he had results quite similar to this in his first season, the Wigan result. You know, these results happened to Bielsa, and yet...
Yeah, derby playoffs.
We didn't slate Bielsa the way Farke is getting absolutely hammered at the moment.
Ah, now, I will say, although I don't have any detail for it, I will say I expect that there was a lot of that reaction online still, because Twitter's a cesspit.
Yeah, but no one was calling for Bielsa's head. The amount of people...
I imagine they were, to be fair.
Well, I can't say that I saw people asking for Bielsa to be sacked, because I didn't see, you know, many tweets like that. I genuinely try and stay away from Twitter whenever there's a shit result like last night or that Wigan one or whatever, because I don't want to see it. I don't like to say that we're at 90 points and we still might not go up, and the absolute shithole that Farke inherited in August, to say we are where we are, I think a lot of people need to wind their necks in a little bit and just take stock of exactly what's gone on and what's happened. And how we've got to where we are, based off the fact that he hadn't a clue what his squad was going to be until the end of August. Now, August absolutely shafted us because of that. August, like, if anyone wants to blame anything, I blame the month of August, and I blame the players that absolutely knackered off and didn't want to play and down tools and left Farke in the shit that he was in. Now, I'm not sitting here being a happy clapper by any means, but you look at results in August, Blackburn at or West Brom at home, Wednesday at home. Oh, hold on, I'm about to die here. There we go.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not that bad, Cal.
No. My laptop, not me. the results in August, I put where we are now, not be like, if you look at it, West Brom, we should have had a penalty to win that game. There was blatant handball as well, where they scored their equaliser. Blatant handball. Linesman didn't see it. You got Wednesday. Didn't know what we were doing. He was still feeling it out. Didn't really have a pre-season. And then you had, who was the other one then at home? We had three results at home where we drew. And if you look, if you take those three draws, you're looking at us now, we're sitting above Leicester. So context, I mean, is important when you're talking about Farke out and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, you got to look at the overall picture and not just a series of games that's this big when it's fucking this big. You know what I mean? I once caught a fish that was this big, and it's like,
should have seen the one that got away.
Yeah,
I think that there is some valid criticism. You know, we've already spoken about the side that we picked last night. We've already spoken on several occasions about not only the timing of the changes, but the changes that get made. There is valid criticism. I think to react to a gaffer that's got us to where we are from where we were by saying he needs sacked, I think that's that step too far, because there's valid criticism, and then that's just madness, because who do you get? So, you know, all of the people that were calling for Bamford out and all of the people that were calling for Cooper out, and, you know, as we were going through, you're thinking, yeah, that's fine. We do need to do better. We do need to sign better. But until we have, those are still the best that we have. And Bamford's still the best nine that we've got. So Bamford out and get rid of him and whatever else other people were saying, all of the abuse he were getting, it's not his fault he's still our best nine. Yeah. And I think that we need to be a bit calmer and a bit more measured. And I know that I'll be winding people up because I'm quite zen about it. But as I said, and I'm just going to come back to something that Smarty said in the comments, is how anyone given the form we were on prior to the international break can positively say that they didn't have high hopes of automatics or either lying or delusional. You can go back and you can look at the recording, because I said it on this very podcast that we were finishing third during the international break when we had Ipswich, Leicester and Saints fans on with Luke and I, which Smarty clearly hasn't watched. Thanks for your support, Smarty.
But yeah, it's probably down in Wales.
at that point in time, I'm thinking, I'm not confident we're going to go on a good run. We're always poor over Christmas and New Year, and we're always poor in April. Yeah. There's no getting away from that. You know, there's comments being made in terms of, right, okay, well, we need to focus on playoffs. We're not going up through playoffs either. It's not happening. I don't think we get to Wembley, let alone win at Wembley. Now, it would be absolutely fantastic. It would be a brilliant experience for us to go to Wembley and win. It's not going to happen, but it would be remarkably amazing if it did. And I would have traded finish second to go up at Wembley if you could guarantee me that it was happening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that, I think there is a lot of impetus to be taken out of winning at Wembley and going up that way into the next season, and the good feeling that goes with that and all of that sort of stuff. But Leeds don't do well in those pressure situations. You look at all of the finals, the playoff finals, you know, Watford when Ashley Young tore us to bits, and Villa in the mid-1996. We Doncaster in the playoffs, Derby in the playoffs. We do not do well in these situations. And I think that to reflect on the season that we've had so far, so before the season kicked off, when I'm looking at Sinisterra and I'm looking at Adams, and we've still got them in the side, we still had Verba, and let's not get away from the fact, although they are sick notes, if they'd have been fit, they'd have been more than capable of playing at this level, you know, regardless of how ratty they are, and that comes from threatening the clubs beyond that. In the build-up to this season, I was saying it will be a failure if we don't get promoted this season. But that's because nobody saw Ipswich doing what they were doing, what they have done this season. What they have done this season is absolutely remarkable. Yeah. And I think we're in a position now where we can break records for being third place. The record books will just show that we finished third.
Yeah.
And that'll be the case.
Yeah, I think you're right. And just on your point about Ipswich, they've been riding the crest of a wave all season after getting promoted last year. You know, they romped League One last year, and they were just like, right, they had that mentality of, they had a winning mentality already instilled in the squad. Whereas we had a relegation mentality, and we had players who didn't want to be there. We had loads of stuff that kind of went against us, but at the same time, it's not really an excuse for the poor performances since the international break. That's not anything that can be excused in my eyes. But at the same time, like you're saying, we have to be realistic about it as well. Did anyone honestly think that we were going to be in the position we were in? Be honest, in the comments, be honest. Did anyone think we were going to be in the position we're in second on 90 points after being relegated, had a shy preseason, didn't know who was going to be playing for? Honestly, don't just say, yeah, I did because of the players. But be honest. Be honest with
and
yourself.
And that's right up to New Year.
Yeah. Be honest with yourselves, because when you think about it like that and you see where we're at and the progress we made, I think everyone should be kind of going, right, okay, yeah, fair enough. We've been absolutely muck since the international break. We've had some dire games in between the start of the season and that international break and all that. But No one can sit there and honestly tell me they expected us to be up there on 90 points and still not promoted. Nobody.
Yeah, if you spin through the comments, expecting Gar 99, which is a hell of a name, he's answered your question. Nope. Jonathan Brooks said no. Deb House said, if you told me this on 1st of Jan, I'd have laughed at you. Yeah. Kev Marston said, I thought we'd finish third all season. Expecting Gar said 13th or something. Rysel, who you met in the toilet, said, I'd take this at the beginning of the season. However, things change, you've thrown it away. That is true. We had... Mm-hmm. If you during that international break podcast, when we had the fans of the opposition teams on, the thing that I were pointing out is we've now got something to lose. And it was the first time this season that we'd had it in our grasp and it was something to lose, because right before that, we're so far away, nobody could take our title, us mounting a title charge from 17 points behind Leicester. Nobody could take that seriously. And all of a sudden, we're within one win of top of the league, and you know, we get into the top two. You know, we really hit our straps through February and March, and it was an amazing run. And at that point in time, now you're thinking, right, okay, now we've got a chance to go and do something. But as soon as you've got now, we've got a chance to go and do something, you've also got something to lose. And what I likened it to at that point was you 1-0 up 80 minutes into a game. You know, the season is coming to its conclusion. There's 10% less of the season left to go. You've got something to lose. And unfortunately, we've seen our club time and again fall at that hurdle. And we put ourselves... It is still remarkable, though, that we put ourselves in a position to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that coming.
That's exactly what I'd be thinking as well. It's like, I genuinely didn't see us finishing anywhere near the top four or five, depending on how you look at it, because I just couldn't see it at the start of the season with the way things were and everything. And to say that, obviously, you've mentioned we do have a terrible December, we always have a terrible April, it's just, it seems to be stuck with the club, the fans' mentality and everything. It's like, oh Christ, not this international break, oh Christ, not Christmas, oh Christ, not the... How about changing your mindset? You know, it doesn't take much. You sit there and you think about it and you're like, right, I need to be realistic about this. And just be looking at it and go, right, look, great. We're in that position now. We're doing this. But I'm going to come across a happy clapper here, which I'm absolutely not. But I 90 points is some achievement. To say we were relegated last year, two-thirds of the squad didn't want to play for us and all knackered off. You know, and where we are at the minute, like, granted, we might not go up in the playoffs, we might not do this, we might not do that. Who's to say that Ipswich are going to win both their games? Who's to say they don't lose one and draw one and then they level on points? No, I know.
I'm saying they don't.
I'm speaking hypothetically, you know.
No, I know.
But I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but we're all sit there and we're like, we've done this, we've done that. It's like, yeah, but we've achieved far beyond what anyone thought we would this season. Far beyond it, in my opinion. Like, if you'd have said to someone, right, you're going to get 90 points this season, but you're still not going to go up, someone would laugh at you and go, we're not getting 90 points.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been about the going up, would it? It would have been, there's no way we'd get 90 points.
Yeah, we're not getting 90 points.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
And the other thing that they would have said is, And if we get 90 points, then of course we'll get promoted. What are you talking about?
There you go. So it swings and roundabouts. You can't, you know, I just say everyone needs to kind of just sit down, assess what the hell happened last night, which we all know was a terrible, terrible performance. And just look at it. Look at the whole season as a whole, not just last night's game where we totally fell apart, granted. But I think there's a lot. Like if Bryn was saying there that there's going to be a heap of players gone in the summer. I don't know where it was there. Bryn is commenting like a madman. No, this one here. I got it. Cooper, Ayling, Geldhart, Somerville, Nanto, Rutter, Darlow, maybe even Gray will all go. I don't think so.
I don't either. Not if not promoted. I think there was a comment that I'd written down to mention before we came on. That was on the balance of some of the performance that we've had so far this season. Recently, some players know they're out. If we don't go up, some players know that they're going to have an opportunity to move to a top tier side. But some of them know that they're going to be out if we do get promoted.
Yeah.
Because the ones that are the better players will be able to architect a move, and they'll be onto their agents, and they'll be doing whatever else. And the ones that are fringe players. So let's look at some of those. So Cooper's come to the end of his contract, and he's not going to get, regardless of whether we're in the second tier or the top tier, he's not going to get another deal. Ayling's gone. Dallas is gone. And that saddens me. I'm not just brushing over that. That does sadden me because it's kind of the end of that era. And you know, I've appreciated all that they've done for our club, but we need to move forward. And it's actually to the detriment of our club that we didn't move forward prior, because then that would have put us in a better position to actually still be in the Premier League. Mm. It goes back to what we were saying about Bamford earlier. It's actually a major issue that he's still our best nine.
Yeah.
So just to come back around on that, there are some players, those fringe players, the likes of Shackleton and so on, are not, you know, it might be kept on as a fringe player, but they're not going to play much football in the Premier League. So if we get promoted, you know, Firpo, there's a massive question mark over whether Firpo stays if we go into the Premier League, because we've seen that he doesn't have the defensive capabilities and the reading of the game. He can get forward, he can put a good ball in, he can pass a ball, he's got a decent touch. But that's not the extent of a fullback's job.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree on that. The thing now is I think the higher ups need to start fixating up. Are the headphones dead? Oh, no. All right. I think what we need to do now, the higher ups need to start looking towards the summer now, right now. And I think one of the examples that I want to use is that Rads and all them said we are going to start and we need to do what Brighton did or whatever. I'm not one for modeling off other... The Leicester model, you know, where you spend big and hope to Christ your arse doesn't fall out and you get promoted. The one thing I will say is that financially, I think we're not in the shit if we stay down. And I don't think necessarily we have to sell all the players that Bryn mentioned there or whatever the case may be. So
yeah.
I think we'll keep a lot of those players that Bryn mentioned, bar obviously Cooper, Ayling, Dallas. I think Nando and Somerville, they'll stay because quite frankly, they'll have a lot to prove. They'll have looked at this as a wasted opportunity to prove that they're the players that can get a club promoted. Now I'd be sitting them all down and I'd be saying exactly the same thing. This is as much on Farc as it is on the players. The players didn't highlight the players didn't cover themselves in glory last night. Regardless of what Farc did tactically, they didn't do any great shapes. They weren't pulling up trees last night. So Firpo could stay as a winger. Yeah, what's that?
That's what I was aiming for, actually.
At least we'll get Christensen back. Oh, fuck that.
Oh, God. I'm not sure I agree with your take on Nanto and Somerville on the basis that there'll be a lot of suitors for them. You know, Somerville just won the player of the season, which I'm not certain that I'm convinced about. because since the turn of the year, I think that he's been underperforming compared to his first half of the season. First half of the season, absolutely, it was right up there. Since the turn of the year, I think that Dan James and Nonto alternately and Rutter and Bamford have kind of carried him a little bit. But, you know, he's still popping up. He popped up with goals. And overall, his season's been really good. But for me, the player of the season needs to be consistently good throughout the season. And I'm not convinced. But I think regardless of that, he'll be seen as somebody that's had a particularly good season. And if you could create a highlights reel from him and he'd look an absolute baller. He'd look world class in a highlights reel, wouldn't he, from this season alone?
Yeah.
He and Nonto are going to have a lot of suitors.
Yeah.
And I think the amounts that we paid for them make it a very attractive proposition. Rutter won't go anywhere. We owe too much on him. And if you look at the depreciation of the asset across the lifetime of his contract, there's too much value still on the books for him as an asset for it to be financially viable for him to move on. And I don't see him going anywhere. But Somerville and Nonto, I think... What do we pay for it? So I think it was 2.5 million for Somerville, 4 million maybe for Nonto.
1.5. I read, yeah, and 2.5 for Nonto.
I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's next to nothing. I think we'll probably see Firpo move on regardless. I think he'll go back to Spain, and I think he'll do fairly well there, and it'll be fine. I think that it'll be very difficult to keep hold of both Nonto and Somerville. Now, if one of them goes for big money, it makes it much easier to keep the other. So I think we'll be in a position where we'll probably see one marquee signing leaving, if that makes sense. We'll see one big deal and then a bunch of, you know, it might be that Byram doesn't get a new deal. Somebody mentioned Shaq might be at the end of his current contract. I think we'll see quite a number of people leaving, but it will be people that, if we offered them a contract, might stay, rather than people forcing a move out. I do think that, you know, the likes of Ampadu, I don't see Gray going anywhere. In fact, Coslow's just asked that question. I think Ampadu stays. I think Gray stays, unless one of those is a big money move to somewhere else, which I don't really see at this time. So. I think on balance, the squad will largely... I think on balance, the first 11 next season will largely look similar. And see, again, Rysel, I've just seen this one. Bringing Sam Smodics as a 10, Rutter out wide, Championship be ripped up. Absolutely not. I'm not having that at all. Sam Smodics is this season's Ben Brereton-Diaz. And yeah, all right, Ben Brereton-Diaz got one goal in the Premier League last week, but he's got, what, four? And he got four in the previous season. These players, so Smodics is 29 this year. Yeah. He's had one good season. I'm not having that. You look at Pirro, who had, what, 40 goals in 80 appearances, roughly, for Swansea in two seasons?
Yeah.
His goal-scoring record is much better than Smodics's. And Smodics is another player very akin to what the point that Bryn was making about Pirro earlier in this podcast was... Pirro was a big fish in a small pond at Swansea, and now he's a member of a squad. And Smodics would be the same. He's used to being that focal point, and you know he's the player in a Sunday league team that's clearly too good for the level, but he's playing with his mates, so everything goes through him. Jack Clarke at Sunderland. Jack Clarke is not as good as Sunderland make him look, but everything goes through him.
Yeah,
that's not the dynamic at Leeds. It doesn't need to be. We don't want it to be the dynamic at Leeds. And these players just aren't the ones that we need to step up. We want players. We need players that have got Premier League capability to get us there and keep us there. So that's why you look at international markets and not why you look here. Because, you know, when you look here, you're looking in the second tier for the best players in the second tier. Now, that's all well and good if the best players in the second tier are your Dewsbury Halls and your Vardys. Not that I'm advocating for Vardy now, but you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And not ones at Blackburn and Jeff Wednesday and Birmingham and wherever else, because they're not the ones that are going to consistently perform to a position where you get yourself promoted and then stay up. We haven't done that this season, so we need to sign better.
In not trying to get too far away from last night's game, but do you think we should go after Chair in the summer?
No.
No?
I think he'd be in jail.
Huh?
Have you not seen that? He's got a court case hanging over him. Something that happened in France.
Oh, I didn't realise that. Well, sack that fucker off then. right, okay. That's fun times. Right, okay.
So no, I'd rather avoid that.
Yeah, okay. Let's not spend money on a dude that's going to be banged up for a little while. Let's. It's apparently it's GBH.
Oof. Probably best to not get into it though.
Yeah, let's not talk about
we'll leave that there while you we'll just make the point that the court case, as I understand it, is still continuing. So, you know.
Right. I wasn't aware of that. No, my bad. Forget him. Right. So I'll just go through a few of the comments that we started here, Gilly. All right. I'm going to have to make my screen a little bit bigger here. I've been on the same page as Gilly. Didn't think we were getting automatic, so I've been apathetic. Last night was an embarrassment, though, and that's the bit that sticks in the throat. Yeah, Kev, it was embarrassing. There was absolutely nothing from back to front there now for me last night that showed any kind of conviction to want to score and win last night, bar maybe two opportunities, three opportunities, and then that's essentially it. Dave Thornton, I'm with you, Gilly. Let's smash the league next season. Seems to be
we're
the
going up as fucking champions.
Yeah, yeah, it seems to be a rerun of Bielsa's first season, all right, doesn't it? So let's maybe go with that. Johnny Brown, cheeky check-in in whilst I'm being dragged around the shops. Cheers, Leeds, for my punishment. Speak to you later, lads. No bother, Johnny. Hope you're enjoying the shopping, boss. Kev Marston is in again. We ain't going up in the playoffs either. Make peace with another season in the champ, and I'm okay with that. The Prem is a better watch from afar than when you have the old rabbit dog in the fight. Yeah. This is from Joe. How you doing, Joe? Carl, as soon as I saw Nantes Somerville crash into each other, and lose the ball, I gave up. That was very early doors, and I remember that one. That was in midfield. It looked like either Somerville wanted to take the ball on from Nanto and Nanto wanted to carry on, and the two of them absolutely collided. I think that was in the lead up to the goal to share.
I don't think
it directly
caused it, but it was just before it, wasn't it? And you know, at that time when the communication so poor and the passing had been so poor and it just looked disjointed, then you see that and you're thinking, fucking hell, I don't know what's happening today.
That's it, exactly. Smarty, I made £50 on Blackburn game. I also made £50 on last night's QPR. Hope you choke on it, Smarty. Paul Brennan, Firpo played with heart last night. The rest of the team hopeless. If we play like that in the playoffs, we ain't going to Wembley, for fuck's sake. Yeah, the mentality needs to rapidly change in that dressing room, and it needs to change ASAP. We're going to be one of the only teams going into that potential playoff spot with no form, bar, you know, what, Southampton had an awful run, then they went on a bit of a run, and then they got hammered by Leicester. So, you know, the run of form there is going to be absolutely mental and vital in that.
I don't see either us or Saints doing anything in the playoffs, by the way. I'm not just writing us off. I'm writing Saints off as well. I think any side that steams into the playoffs and finish fifth and sixth, they've got the momentum behind them.
Yeah.
Now, it's a bit of a lottery anyway, and you can never legislate for anything. But for me, the favourites would be fifth and sixth, dependent on, you know, the last couple of games. But at this point in time, we've lost our way. Saints have lost their way. You know, we had an opportunity to go for something and fell short.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Joe Bedford again. I really am starting to question the fact Pirro looks stoned all the time. It could definitely explain how he plays. I think he's just lazy. Honestly, I genuinely think he's just lazy. I thought, right, I said it a while back, I thought with losing your spot to Bamford from January, you'd look at what Bamford was doing and replicate that. The only one I've seen replicate that has been Joseph when he's come on. Pirro hasn't done that for me. He doesn't get around the pitch quick enough for me. at all. Not he doesn't close down quick enough. To be fair, he was the only one shooting from range until Joffe and Joseph came on last night. But he doesn't do enough in the closing down. He doesn't do enough in the pressing. He just comes across as very lazy. Now, I don't know, like I've mentioned before, if it's a tactic that Farke wants from him or whether it's that he's playing too deep and him and Georgie aren't communicating properly as to who goes and who stays and who goes up top and who drops. That needs to be ironed out because it didn't work last night. They were both too deep and the press didn't happen from the front like it does with Bamford. And that needs to be sorted.
Yeah, there's a comment there from Scooby if you just want to focus on that.
He did have a couple of decent shots in the first half, but was shocking in the second. My point exactly, you know.
Yeah, and he just doesn't influence the game enough, does he? He doesn't impress himself on the game at all. He's somebody that, you know, I hesitate to use him as an example in this because I'm talking positively about somebody I can't stand. But if you look at the way that Lampard played the game, he arrived late in the box and he scored bagfuls of goals in doing so. But he was a midfielder and he was a good midfielder. And he did the job in midfield and arrived late into the box and scored loads of goals. And we're at the second tier and we've got somebody that, yes, he's a goal threat. He never looks like a goal threat, but he gets goals. That's just, other than that, kind of coasts through games. And that's not, it's almost like he's a passenger because you're hoping that he's going to pick up the goals that he scores.
Yeah.
I've not gone back and looked. But for me, I think that not only is it against teams that everybody else is working hard against because it's teams that will come at us that give him the space to do what he does, but also, to my mind, most of his goals have come in games where he's not the match winner scoring a goal. You know, he doesn't get one that means that we win by the odd goal.
Mm.
He's a bit of a flat-track bully.
Yeah, it's he doesn't... Yeah, like you're saying, he doesn't score the goals that count. He just scores a goal randomly here and there. It's like you said, it's not a winner. It's not one like missed a sitter against Coventry to get us a point. That hammers home your example there as well, Gilly. Like he just didn't do it. But at the end of the day, we kind of got to look at it now. We have him for next season. He's not going anywhere. So
he's not. He's absolutely not.
Something needs to be sorted out.
And do you know what? He is 24. He's got a long way to go to peak. You know, peak for his position's what, 28?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got some time. And that's why, I hesitate around the Smodic conversation because although I see the point, he's done well this season and he's got lots of goals scored against us. But you look at the balance of the seasons that he's had up to now and the fact that he is 28, could Pirro do that in 4 years' time? Probably.
Yeah.
Not for us. But probably for somebody that's at Blackburn's level right now, and that's not what we need. But he's not going anywhere. We've only just signed him, and we're going to be at this level next season. And do you know what? He's fine as a squad player. Mm. He just when he starts, he doesn't impact the game enough.
What we could do on the main pod during the week is maybe discuss our options up front and stuff like that, and who we could potentially go after.
Yeah.
Finances and stuff like that.
Maybe so. If anybody can stomach it, I think the other point that we have to make as well is we spoke about the dynamic between the 9 and the 10 with Rutter being up front and Pirro being at 10 earlier on in the season and the comments that Farke had made. Rutter's come alive when he's dropped into the 10, but he's still not good enough at scoring goals either. You know, last night he had a very easy chance and he spooned it wide, and I think that. You know, you and I have skirted around last night's game and we've not really focused on the actual elements of it. And I really don't want to either. And, you know, we've done 51 minutes not doing it. We don't have to do it now. But Rutter's not the answer either. You know, he's not somebody that we can see go up into the 9 just because we're struggling with Pirro there, because he's not the answer either. For me, there is one answer, and that's Joseph.
An out-and-out striker.
Yeah. In fact, we've got two Josephs, and you can play either of them there because I'd rather see Joffe than Pirro or Rutter up front.
That brings us on to Coleslaw on Toast's comment. Nice to see Joffe get a run out at least.
Probably did all right. He was tidy enough.
He did okay. He had efforts. He was bullying players around the place. We seemed a bit more on the front foot when he came on. His youthful exuberance started to kick in a little bit, but Farke maybe sees stuff in training that we don't see that just doesn't give him the inkling to start him. I think it's a job effort. I'll play up front. I've played with Batty and Dino. Agree 12-ish?
Aged, I guess that is.
Oh, I thought I was reading fucking that wrong there. Right, okay.
No.
Yeah,
there you go. She's corrected herself.
Oh, sweet. Thanks, Joe. Not just me. Next one, Skip. Bamford wouldn't have made much difference, to be fair.
Not to last night and not looking back. But yeah, I think that's in response to my comment about I wanted to change to a draw because that was the best I could hope for. That was before kickoff.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, before the team was announced.
Yeah. No, just after the team was announced, before kickoff. Right. Knowing that Paddy was out, you know, I'm not saying he would have made a difference, but he made a difference to my mindset going into the game.
Yeah, true. We have Kev here. We trusted Joffe under Yank Lampard and that paid off. Why not trust Joseph this time? We have nothing to lose. Again, it goes back to the comment I made earlier about us, you know, people saying, oh, you can't put so much pressure on a young fella. Archie Gray in midfield. That's it. Put him up front. Just give him a shot. One game left. Put him up. Why not?
Yeah.
Bamford, you know, whatever about Bamford and Pirro and Rutter, just give him a shot. He's enthusiastic. He comes on and he affects the way the opposition play. They don't like it. They don't like that he's running around like an absolute bull in a china shop. And maybe that's what we need for this last game and maybe going into the playoffs.
I mean, it can't be as bad as somebody that's not affecting the game at all. That's the point. And I don't think he's the answer. But if Webbo said last night, I don't know if he's in the comments, I've not seen him, but Webbo said last night on Twitter, if Pirro's the answer, what's the question? And the only response I gave was, who shouldn't have started up front for Leeds?
Yeah. That's it, yeah. 400 points on Jeopardy there for Gilly. Bryn Gray needs rest and he's burnt out. You just can't.
Give not now.
Rest in the summertime. That's all you can do for now. Smarty coming in here. For me, it's still too early after last night's shambles to be picking the positives and trying to rationalise this season just yet. Might need a couple of weeks. Yeah, we'll see. From Rysel 1919, I'm coming across so negative, lads, but I'm just so frustrated in our hands. Ah, yeah. I think we're all in the same boat there, mate. Like, it's just one of those. We who was it? I was listening to Phil Hay talking on the other podcast there, and they brought up the whole what was it? There was some stat about QPR not winning at home for a certain length of time. And every time I hear that, I just want to gouge my ears out and be like, can you just not give those fucking statistics, please. And just keep them to yourself. Shut your mouth. Don't put and just leave it be. Just leave it be. Because, you know, now we have Scooby D2, so Harrison and Aronson on wings and hopefully keep Archie. See, I've got my opinion on this. Harrison's gone. His mother has hammered the nail in the coffin there for me. He has to go.
That entirely depends on the offer that we get. He's our asset. And yeah. Footballers, especially Premier League footballers, are worth a lot of money. So somebody's going to have to front up and pay for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the best one in the world, whether you want him back or not, he's not going to be in a Leeds shirt next season, because even if we don't get promoted, then my understanding of those loan agreements in the contracts and commercials is that they can just go back out on loan again. Yeah. So if somebody doesn't come in with the right value offer, then we'll get a loan fee and his wages paid again. I can't see him coming back.
No, he's definitely not coming back.
Aronson can fuck off even more than Harrison can. Out of all of the rats, it's Harrison I'd take back.
Yeah, Well, I don't know. I think you don't take rats back onto a ship at that point. Anyway.
No, no. If you said to me, you've got to take one of those that push their way out of the club,
right?
That would be the one out of the ones I'd choose. I don't want any of them back, to be honest. I think we own their contracts, and somebody's going to have to buy them out of those contracts. And if they don't, they're just going to end up on loan again.
See, my thoughts on Harrison is, if a player plays enough and contributes enough to a club staying in the Premier League and they want to buy him, then you need to cough up. And I think him playing as much as he has and potentially helping them stay up, that should be us going, right, yeah, well, this is what we value him at. You either pay it or you don't. It's as simple as that. You don't get him then. But if he helps them stay up, then that's a transfer fee in itself for me. Like,
yeah.
We've got an Ipswich fan in the comments here. Town fan here, not done yet. We still need to get points. You're in second still. But if we pip use, please smash the budgies. this is something that I wanted to go back to. Regardless of our win last night, the pressure is still on them to beat Hull today. No, I'm not. Yeah. Again, no.
They've got 6 points to go out before we play again, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. But they're still. What have we always said? We've always said points on the board over games in hand.
So but it's point, 1 point. We and have 6 points for them to go at.
So look, yeah, I'm not saying it's a dead cert that they're going up and we're going wherever. But you know, they're clearly thinking on edge like us. They're the town fans.
Well, of course they are. You know, of course they are because in the table they are third. Yeah. But put your mortgage on it; they're going up, and we're not.
Yeah. So Scooby here as well. I'm being a happy clapper now. Maybe we needed a spanking. Was it Barcelona in Champions League spanked us, and then did he forget to finish that comment?
No, he didn't. He was saying, look at what happened in that Champions League run after Barcelona spanked us in our first game. Excuse me. If you remember, we went over to Nou Camp and we got battered there. And then, you know, AC Milan and Lazio and the rest happened.
Yeah, it did. Deb Howes in the comments. How are you, Deb? Best description I've heard of Rutter, the lad who went to play football on a surfboard. that's pretty accurate. Like, I can't argue with that. We've Paul Brennan here as well. Matty Joseph plays without fear, young and hungry. Totally agree, Paul. Yeah, we've hit on that point, and he fires himself around the place. And the final one here and all is from Michael Pollard. How you doing, Michael? Agree. Rutter's more a winger, can beat men easily with less risk when he loses it on the wing. We haven't got an orthodox number 10. That's why he's used there.
Agree with that.
That's 100% spot on. And if one of our prime wingers go next season, that's where I'd like to see Rutter out on the wing. I think we saw, I know they're only YouTube clips and they're this and they're that or whatever the case may be, but a lot of Rutter's dangerous attacks and goals for Hoffenheim came when he was playing out wide, not when he was playing down the middle. And we looked very vulnerable down the middle once we got there. And we saw against Middlesbrough that the devastating runs he can do when he is playing out wide. He won us that penalty. Yeah. He had no right to beat your man, but he felt like he was in his natural position, perhaps. And he knew what he had to do. It was get
back. And I imagine that's what somebody that we targeted. I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but I think his name is Dick Steele. It's not pronounced like that, but that's how it's written. But Aileen had been playing there, hadn't he? So their right back was going to be rusty because Aileen had been playing all the games. So what you do is you get on the ball and you run at him until he's got time to play himself into the game. And that's exactly what we did. So we played with intelligence there. Now, don't get me wrong, we struggled at the back. But we did some great stuff going forward, and any side that you score far against, you expect to win the game, as we saw last night when QPR did it. And I think it's one of those where the frustration for me overall is the fact that they've got one player, very much like Blackburn, one player, very much like Sunderland, one player, and we ended up not getting 3 points from the games against them after that one player that they had wasn't dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think we've absolutely kicked crap out of that now, to be fair, Gilly. I genuinely, when we were chatting earlier in the group, I thought it was going to be a short pod. It's gone on for an hour and 2 minutes of absolute mayhem. But have you anything to say before we finish up?
Yeah, there's just one thing. Just to go out on a real positive note, unfortunately, it very much seems as though we're going to have to play Derby again next season.
Why end the pod like that? Why do that? What the fuck is wrong with you? Right, okay, on that note, thanks, Gilly. We'll catch you.
No, let's not go out like that. Let's go out like this. So it is the weekend. So I just want to pop this up and we'll just have a very quick conversation about... So last night was pool night in Northern Snooker. So we missed that one. But tomorrow is Barber Club at W2 Barbers on East Dudley Road from 11 till 3. So come down, get your hair cut, have a chat with all proceeds going to Andy's Man Club. More events coming in May.
Thanks for that, Gilly. That's a far more positive and better note to finish on. I appreciate that, man. You redeemed yourself.
Cheers, pal.
Thanks a million, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.